Oxford Sparks Podcast, Episode 5, Anomalies, Part 1.
Make sure the volume control of your player is set at a comfortable listening level for my voice.
There are a lot of different types of sounds that people can hear. The most common is a high-pitched sound. Long and high and irritating. And some people can have a sound which is kind of overlaid with lots of those sounds, yeah. Kind of complicated, has lots of components to it.
This is Josh Gold, and he's interested in strange noises.
And beyond that, people can also have something which is, similar to even a white noise sound you get from your television when you detune it.
Or to be more exact, he's interested in the neurobiology of a condition called tinnitus.
Don't alter the level when you listen to the tinnitus sound.
Most often described as a persistent and annoying sound in one or both ears.
For some people, that's really quite debilitating, to not be able to get away from this thing which is constantly following you around and throwing you off.
The strange thing with tinnitus is that there doesn't seem to be a clear cause, and it affects people in different ways. It's quite common too, with around 10% of the population suffering from it at some point during their lives. It can be associated with depression, stress, or anxiety, but is most commonly associated with hearing loss in later life.
There are so many factors, and nobody's entirely sure why certain people have tinnitus who have hearing loss, why certain people who have tinnitus don't have hearing loss, and by contrast, why certain people who have hearing loss don't end up developing tinnitus.
The nature of the condition makes it difficult to diagnose or categorise. Some people aren't even aware they have it.
At the other end of the spectrum, there are people for whom it is the most irritating, most aggravating, most persistent sound experience they have ever had. It kind of takes up everything. It affects their capacity to hold normal conversations. It affects their capacity to enjoy music, to watch television, even just enjoy the simple pleasure of silence. Because there's always something there distracting them. It's often, in fact, in those people that there is sort of a suicide risk because it is so debilitating.
So what could be the root of this problem? Well, current thinking is that the problem lies in the way the brain deals with signals coming from the auditory nerve.
So if, for example, someone is suffering a hearing loss and you reduce the amount of information that's being passed along the auditory nerve, then the brain is able to compensate in some way. In the same way that if you have a microphone and you reduce the amount of sound that you put into the microphone, you can compensate by turning up the volume or the gain on your recording.
Most modern audio recorders have something called a noise floor, essentially the random noise introduced to the recording when there's no input. Here, have a listen to this. If you increase the gain, the volume, then it becomes a lot more noticeable, like this. In a similar way, the auditory nerve, the audio cable that delivers information to your brain, if you will, generates its own low-level noise. We call this spontaneous activity. During hearing loss, the brain may attempt to turn up the gain on the auditory nerve.
Then what can happen, in theory, is that this spontaneous activity, right, which previously had flown under the radar and not been noticed or recognized as having any kind of relation to a sound, now, because of this turning up of the brain's gain, seems to potentially drive the sensation of there being a sound in the environment, even though there may not well be.
So tinnitus could be the amplification of noise that's already in the system, and that might be why it's so hard to characterise in patients.
As it stands in tinnitus treatment, the state of affairs is arguably woeful. I think a lot more people are more optimistic than I am.
Most of the current treatment options, such as antidepressants or using noise to effectively cancel out the tinnitus, often have low success rates in patients.
for the most part, things have been very equivocal. People, doctors, clinicians, psychologists, haven't really been able to agree on a treatment protocol, a treatment regime, which has been wholly effective in all of those patients.
Enter the ferret.
And the ferret's really quite a good, it's a good animal for looking at the auditory system. It has a hearing range which spans and extends beyond that of human listeners. Its auditory physiology can, in rough terms, be equated to that of humans. It's also a very intelligent animal. So when using it for behavioral tasks, you can train it on quite sophisticated behavioral tasks, and it can perform them with relatively high fidelity.
Using the ferret as an animal model, Josh and his team are inducing tinnitus within the animal to investigate the use of a technique called optogenetics to see if they can effectively come up with a cure for the condition.
A virus is developed which codes for a particular type of protein. It's an ion channel.
Basically a little channel which sits in your cell membrane and controls the flow of charged ions in and out of a cell.
So if you can introduce an ion channel into the cell, and you can control it, what you should be able to do is control the activity of that cell.
If you add an ion channel protein to your cell that's controlled by light,
allows you to shut down the activity of those cells by shining light of a different colour at the protein, you can halt anything that's sort of happening in those cells.
And to do this, they use a tiny fibre optic cable to deliver the light.
The light will penetrate a few, maybe hundreds of microns into the surface of the brain. It certainly won't go very deep, and it certainly won't do any lasting damage, because at the end of the day, we don't want to burn a hole in the brain.
You take the light away, and the activity returns to normal.
So our idea is that if we can use this technology to introduce this silencing protein into certain types of cells in the area that we think might be responsible for tinnitus, we should be able to shut down in a more or less literal fashion the tinnitus percept while an animal is doing a task which in theory is completely perturbed by the tinnitus being there.
Optogenetics is a really elegant technique, and it has the potential to transform the way in which we treat or manage neurological conditions, not just tinnitus, but many other conditions, such as depression.
Bringing this technology forward into humans would be a landmark discovery, I mean, possibly worthy of a Nobel Prize. But nevertheless, to think that we've gotten so far in modern medicine and still not been able to find something which treats a disease which is suffered by, you know, a tenth of the population, maybe more, is a little bit depressing. So to consider that we might be able to move that field forward is, it's a good thought, I think.
You've been listening to the Oxford Sparks podcast, narrated by me, Chris Lintott, and produced by Ed Prosser. You can find a full list of credits and much else besides on our website at oxfordsparks.net.